So the process that I'm going to introduce is called the tri-brain, and it have I done it with anyone here? I don't think I have. I did a birth into being process in Cambridge, but it was the parenting one, wasn't it?
Yes.
And I haven't
did
done
you
it.
Tri-brain,
yeah.
With a Y?
No, with an A.
With
tri, as in three brains. Because that's accurate enough from my understanding of there are three basic parts of the brain. There's the forebrain, the midbrain, and the hindbrain. And from an evolutionary point of view, they've developed chronologically. So the hindbrain is the brainstem. And then there's the midbrain, which is also called the limbic brain, and is, as I understand it, kind of under the most recent brain, which is the neocortex or the cortex. And so very primitive life forms like reptiles have the brainstem and have, I think they have smaller versions of the limbic and the cortex, but the neocortex, the kind of new part of the cortex, which is actually divided into two parts, but we don't need to look at that for this process, is only found in mammals. So it's sort of the most advanced, in a way, or has the most advanced processing in the neocortex. But for the purposes of this exercise, this process, it's you don't have to get too fixed on the categorization. It's just we divide the brain into three parts, and we call one the reptilian, which is the brainstem, the most ancient, the most primitive, and one the limbic, which is the midbrain, and the other one the cortex. That's how we name them in this process. So there's the reptilian is responsible for basic survival. So the heartbeat, the autonomic nervous system, the blood flow, the breathing. And it's the one that operates with flight and fight. So if there's danger, it takes over and you don't, you know, people say, I didn't know what I was doing, but they get themselves out of danger. It's that part, the really primitive drive for survival is held in the reptilian. And then there's the, well, I'll go straight to the cortex. And there's the cortex, which is the part of the brain that's rational, that's responsible for planning and ordering and speech and words and communication in that sense. I think that covers it enough. So it's the sort of socialized. It's responsible for our socialization in sense of how we learn to communicate in a group, not just coming from our primitive brain. And then there's the limbic, which is in the middle, which is responsible for the emotional responses. And in this process, we start with focusing on the limbic. We see the limbic as the inner elder. So it's the route to the to our own inner guidance. It's the place of our own inner guidance, our own sense of connection with life itself. So there's the, on the one side, there's this brainstem looking out for our survival interests, and on the other side, there's the socialized, organizing, rational brain, which is organizing our lives and wants to control our lives for our existence, for our sake. But then there's this often in our culture overlooked inner elder, And it's overlooked because we haven't had it modelled, generally speaking. So because, for historical reasons, our parents often weren't able to be in their inner elder, they were parenting us either from their fear, which is the survival, the primitive, fear for our survival or fear for their survival, which if you just look historically is not surprising. Certainly the generation my parents, you know, my parents were born in the war, or no, they were born just before the war. Their parents went through two world wars. So it's not surprising that there's this really predominant fear for survival imprint that's passed down, you know, even to, certainly in my upbringing, a sense that there wasn't enough food because my parents lived through rationing, even though actually there was enough food and they did earn enough. But there was always a little scrabble over the last potato, who would have it. So that's an example of the dominant primitive brain in our parents that we would have inherited or received in our upbringing. And then on the other side, there's the cortex, which is culturally what is valued. Mm. So our education system, generally speaking, looks only and measures only the effectiveness of our cortex. And it's good if you want to do well in this world to be able to put your emotions on hold. That's kind of valued. So in this process, the aim is to activate our inner elder, to get our inner elder online in a way that we might not be familiar with. And it's not family constellations, but if anybody's done family constellations, there's a similarity in that we get representatives to stand in for the parts of our brain. And when we're doing it the way we're going to do it today, we're standing as our limbic, so we get a representative to be our reptilian brain and a different representative to be our cortex. And then when it's our turn, when it's our show, we just give those people a few guidelines of what the kind of things that go on in our head, the kind of lines that our cortex and our reptilian might say, and then we just let them go, let them inhabit that role and watch them play that out while we're standing there as a limbic watching. I'll do a demonstration actually, because I think that's probably better, but I'll just say a little bit more, not much, but just that we're watching these two brain parts relating in the sort of habitual patterned ways they do. And it's quite astonishing what happens. If you haven't done family constellations, you may not have had opportunity to have this experience, but if you have, you've probably experienced how uncanny it is that you end up saying exactly the right things, even if you don't really know anything about the person you're representing. So when you're in the roles, trust what's coming through, trust the process, even if it seems like it's odd. So when you're watching as the limbic, you'll be invited to watch that, and then at a point where you've had enough, you say stop. And then you step in and you find out what you do. Because it's your brain being displayed here, you're in charge. So you can say, actually, I don't want you to say that anymore. Or why are you saying that? Can you explain to me? Or a really helpful question is to these brain parts, do you need anything from me as the limbic? And sometimes it's really helpful to apologise from the place of limbic, because sometimes what's revealed is that you've not really been there, or this part of your brain hasn't really been active because of, as I said earlier, it's often not been had a chance to step in because we haven't had the role models. So often you can apologise to these parts, and that's a very beautiful experience. or you just ask them for information about what they need and then you can respond. And the aim is that you end up with all three brain parts cooperating. So including all of them and what they need. And then and it runs until you've got that experience. And it can be really, really simple. It doesn't have to be a big cathartic thing. It can be really lightweight. Or it might touch stuff for you. And it doesn't really matter whichever way it goes. But just like I said yesterday, you don't need to look for difficulty. It doesn't matter if it's easy and lightweight and kind of fun. And yeah, I just want to emphasise that you can really trust the process. So I'll do a demonstration.